This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Foundations, a weekly program brought to you by the Reformed Church of Christchurch.
Hello, I'm Esther Smith. Sometimes it's hard to relate or talk to God, even if we do believe in Him. This can partially be because we can't see Him. God is invisible. Later in the program, Abel will be telling us more about this aspect of God, but first let's listen to Indescribable by Chris Tomlin.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are
You're listening to Foundations on Plains FM 96.9.
People becoming invisible usually belongs to the realms of fantasy, like in the Lord of the Rings series by J.R.R. Tolkien. However, one of the characteristics of God is that he is invisible,
and here's Abel to tell us more about this.
How would you like to be able to become invisible? No one could see you. You could find out what your friends really think of you as they talk about you without realizing that you're there right beside them. You could sneak into a movie theater without paying and watch a film about an invisible person, like Susan Storm from the Fantastic Four, the Invisible Woman. But of course, that's just fiction, isn't it? There have never been any invisible people, at least, not that we know of. You can't really say that you've never seen an invisible person, can you? Mind you, the Bible talks about how God is invisible. In Paul's letter to Timothy in the Bible, he writes, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory." And then later in the same letter, he writes, "God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honour and might forever." God is the invisible King. No one has ever seen God, nor can anyone ever see him. And yet, there are a number of times in the Bible when God seems to show himself to his people. For instance, the prophet Isaiah cries out, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Could it be that Isaiah saw God himself? And then there is the time when the leader of the Old Testament Israelites, Moses, was said to have seen the back of God. But how can this be if God is invisible? Well, maybe, like the fictional invisible woman, he can either be visible or invisible. Not really. The thing is, the person of God, the being of God, can't be seen. God's essence can't be seen. It's impossible. What Isaiah and Moses in fact saw was a small bit of God's glory. Moses said to God in Exodus chapter 33, "Now show me your glory." That's not quite the same thing as, "Now show me your being." God can show his glory. He can reveal a small glimpse of his awesome power without showing his being. The fact still remains, no one can ever see the actual being of God. Now why is this? Why is it impossible to see the being, the essence of God? Well, part of this has to do with the fact that God is a spiritual being. God is beyond the realm of the physical universe, and because of this, we're simply not able to see him with our physical eyes. Well then, if it's impossible to see God with our physical eyes, what about seeing God with spiritual eyes? Maybe that's how Isaiah and Moses saw him. They had a spiritual vision. Well, there's more to it than that. God's invisibility also has to do with the fact that he is so awesome that he is simply beyond anything we can see, whether with physical or spiritual vision. For instance, consider the fact that God is greater than time. He's not bound by time. He's beyond time. Now, any vision we could ever experience, spiritual or otherwise, will always take place in time. How could we then ever see someone who is beyond time? Consider also the fact that God is infinite in space, and in fact is beyond space, beyond the universe. When you think just how big God really is, you can't help but see a bit more about why he is invisible to us. We see things in spatial terms, but God is beyond space, infinitely bigger than anything we could possibly ever imagine. Okay, he's so big, but can't you just see a little part of him? I can't see all of New Zealand from where I'm sitting. It's too big, but at least I can see a little part of it. But the thing is, God can't be divided into parts. You can take a rock or a piece of building or whatever from New Zealand and take it anywhere you like, but you can't have a piece of God here and a piece of God there. God isn't like that. You are amazing, God. Well, I hope the point is getting through here. Because of who he is, because of how great he is, because of how he is infinitely greater than anything we could ever imagine, then it must then follow that he must be invisible to us. Our minds are simply incapable of seeing anything like him. So there it is. God, the spiritual being, is simply impossible for us to see. Now, you might think that all of this is mere abstract philosophical reflection, thinking about whether or not it would be possible for us to be able to see God. And yet, all of this is very important in terms of how we worship and serve God. The second of the Ten Commandments states, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." The point of this commandment is this: we must not make any idols of God, because God cannot and may not be visibly portrayed in any way. It is absolutely impossible for the invisible God to be pictured in any visible way. We must never try to bring him down to our level by bringing up in our mind some pictures of him. So, we shouldn't use things like paintings or statues to help us have an image of God, because we would be doing a severe injustice to the ultimate invisible God. So how are we to worship God? Well, as John chapter 4 verse 24 tells us, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We worship him by singing spiritual songs. We worship him by listening to his truth, to biblical preaching. We worship him by praying to him. But we do not worship him by bowing before visible images. One final note on all of this. Even though God is invisible, he makes it perfectly clear in the Bible that being the invisible God does not mean that he is the absent God. We may not be able to see his being, but we sure can know him. We can know him in Jesus Christ. We can see him at work in the love he works in our hearts. We can see his power in our lives. We can know him as our Heavenly Father. Amazing, isn't it, to be able to have the awesome invisible God as a Heavenly Father? Thanks be to him. My friend, do you know the invisible God? Do you believe in him and truly desire to know him better? Repent of your sins. Believe in Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and you too can know the power and glory and love of the awesome invisible God.
That was Abel Lander's reading edited material written by Reverend Jim Klasinger. Sometimes it would be nice to be able to be in two places at once. This is impossible for us, but not for God. Please join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. when we'll consider this further. For now though, from the Foundations team, goodbye.
You can contact the Foundations team by sending an email to foundationsonplains@gmail.com. Join us for worship on Sunday at the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 63 Cornwall Street.